Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like habits of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, where to get help, even how to get started on your own. And by the way, I love hearing from small business owners and employees. Let's talk about your business. Send me an email, gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. That's gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Today's stories, what big and small companies are doing after the massive tax overhaul, besides handing out bonuses and pay raises, and how a New York City bar stumbled into free publicity. And when shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. Well, just weeks after the federal government adopted the biggest tax overhaul in three decades, the effects are rippling through corner offices and boardrooms, with companies large and small dusting off once-shelved plans, reevaluating existing projects, and exploring new investment in factories and equipment. It's a story by Wall Street Journal reporter Teo Francis. Teo, what have you found?
Well, we wanted to look beyond really kind of the marketing splash that a lot of companies have gotten with these bonuses, which is real money. But, you know, a bonus is a one-time thing, not a recurring pay increase. And really what the intent of the tax law was to spur investment, to spur growth in U.S. business and in the U.S. economy. So we wanted to look at what companies were saying about what they were actually doing in terms of how they did business, where they did business, and what they were doing in their business. And so we wanted to look a little deeper.
All right, so give a couple examples of what you found.
Well, there's a pharmaceutical company called Amicus that was looking at a place to build a $150-200 million production plant. They were considering Europe and the U.S. The U.S. was more favorable in a number of ways. Executives could get there more quickly, good access to talent, but Europe looked cheaper, especially from a tax perspective. And then when the tax bill passed, they dropped the European locations on the short list and then narrowed it down to just about three U.S. companies. That's a very concrete example. You also have United Natural Foods, which discovered very quickly that they had a much better 4 percentage point improvement on their return on investment in an ongoing warehousing project. And, you know, they are reevaluating pretty much all the capital expenditures they have on their agenda. You know, everything from trucks and warehouses to computer systems and so on. They're trying to figure out, you know, what maybe didn't make sense before that does make sense now.
We're speaking with Teo Francis, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. He's written a piece entitled "The Tax Law, Just 1 Month Old, Is Roaring Through U.S. Companies." All right, so you brought up Aramark also and how it has made things better for them in terms of acquisitions. Explain that.
So there's a couple different ways you can acquire companies or parts of companies. You can acquire their stock. And then often if you do a stock acquisition, without getting too much into the weeds, you end up dealing with capital gains, right? You're buying the stock and the company, you're acquiring the whole company. You can also do an asset purchase where you're buying the stuff that makes up the company. It's not just the physical stuff like the trucks and the factories, but also the trademarks and the brand names and the intellectual property. And the thing about an asset purchase that has changed is that the new tax law says two things. One, it says you can now write off the cost of certain tangible assets, physical things like trucks and factory equipment. You can write that off for taxes, deduct it for taxes, all of it in the first year. Whereas previously, you needed to spread that out over time. You could take a partial deduction each year for a number of years, depending on how long that asset was likely to be in use. The second thing that the law did was say, not only can you do this with new purchases, new factory equipment, new vehicles, you can do it with used equipment too. What this means is that if you as a company acquire a business, acquire the assets of a business, a unit, for example, from a competitor, which is what Energizer did, we're still trying to see what the tax implications of that are going to be. But with Aramark, they acquired a partnership and another company as an asset purchase. What they're doing is they're buying the assets and they get to apply this tax treatment to it. The upshot is basically a 21% discount on a big chunk of the assets you're buying, on those tangible assets for which you get this discount in the first year. When it comes to financial accounting for publicly traded companies, it may not look all that different, but from a cash standpoint, you're saving a pretty big chunk right up front.
In some cases, the rich are getting richer. You brought up the Netflix example. Explain what's happening there.
Well, Netflix is one of the few companies that so far has announced a change in their executive compensation. It looks like about 40% of companies in one survey have said they're considering changes. What Netflix did is this. They had been paying for the last few years their top three of their top executives, they'd been paying them bonuses, and the bonuses were tied to company performance, specifically to how much revenue Netflix made streaming video. The reason they did that is that under prior tax law, you could only get a tax deduction for up to $1 million of pay for your top executives, unless the additional pay over $1 million was tied to performance somehow. So most companies, you'll see CEOs have a salary of $1 million and then a bonus that kicks in if certain performance conditions are met. That exception is gone now. Companies now may not deduct more than $1 million of pay for certain top officers no matter what. So Netflix said, well, if we're going to have to pay taxes on this anyway, why tie it to performance? We're just going to pay it as salary. So they shifted about $19 million of pay for three top executives from performance-based bonus to just straight salary. If they work, they get it.
Thanks, Teo. Wall Street Journal reporter Teo Francis. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. Well, here's a clever small business promotion by a bar, intentional or not. This bar has been drawing attention online for signs posted that outline its latest policy change, a ban on the word literally. Signs posted outside and inside Continental in New York City's East Village warn patrons that they could be ejected from the drinking establishment if they dare to utter the word literally. The sign reads, sorry, but if you say the word literally inside the Continental, you have 5 minutes to finish your drink, and then you must leave. If you actually start a sentence with the word literally, then you must leave immediately. As the bar says, it's the most overused, annoying word in the English language. It will not be tolerated. The sign says, stop Kardashianism now. Trigger Smith, who's the owner of the bar, said the policy is meant to be tongue-in-cheek, and that his bar would be empty if he actually enforced the rule. Reminder, by the way, the Small Business Report is found on our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com. That's also where you can hear our daily news program called This Morning, America's First News. Again, if you'd like to share your small business story, I'd like to hear it. Send me an email at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. That's gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.